All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. On the line right now is my very good friend, Dr. William Zananty, MD, PhD, Silver Fox, standing at approximately 7.5 feet tall, robot brain. Shane Peterson, the man has the brain of a robot. It's not
a real robot?
Yeah, like a real robot. It's not a human brain. The man is able to take in vast amounts of information and then output tremendous amounts of data. Dr. Z, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing okay, and, you know, it's sad that I would have a prosthetic brain, because the human brain is a lot more complicated and complex than that.
Dr. Z is a neurologist by trade, but also a physician scientist. And I feel the need to go through this every time we have Dr. Z on the show, because people inevitably say Dr. Z. They say, what kind of doctor is Dr. Z? Well, he's not an epidemiologist, whatever it is. He's not a virologist. He's just a neurologist. No. Dr. Z's entire focus of study was what, Dr. Z, in your undergrad?
Molecular cell and developmental biology.
Boom. What other doctor would I possibly want? So can somebody tell me a different kind of, do I want a horse doctor? Absolutely not. I want Dr. Z. So, Dr. Z, we got a question in the text line, but also a question from I think it was from somebody from last week. Have you got that all in front of you right now?
You know, I don't. I was just looking for it.
Prepared as usual, Dr. Z.
Yes. Well.
If I remember correctly, it was from a gentleman whose name is John, and he was saying something about his wife being a registered nurse, and she was thinking about getting an additional shot of the Pfizer, and they wanted your humble opinion on that.
Right, over 65.
Right.
And high risk, you can get the booster. And, I mean, my answer was definitely get it. You know, you're seeing unravel in front of us more and more information every week. You know, the J&J shot is effective up to, 94% if you get two? 71% if you get one. So this is why they're talking about boosters, because it actually does boost the immunity and give you more varied antibodies against this disease.
Right. So, Dr. Z, that was my next question, which is that now the kind of the conspiracy wheel on the internet is that the first, and this isn't Jack Stein saying this, this is the conspiracy wheel on the internet that keeps on a-turning. They're saying that the first round of shots did not have the desired effect on the population, because they think it's all about population control, right?
So, first round of what shots?
The J&J? First round of not just the J&J, but like all the vaccines. So they're trying to say that the first round wasn't good enough. So now all of a sudden they're trying to give everybody the second dose. It's this weird kind of deep cut conspiracy, Dr. Z, that I wonder if when you're that far down the rabbit hole, is there any way to pull that person back out of it when you're at that point and you're thinking about health and community health and you know, your own health? Can you bring somebody back from that point of view?
Gosh, you know, that's a great question. They go all the way down. You've got this nurse that refused to get the vaccine, encouraged others not to get the vaccine, and she's dead.
Yeah, I was reading about that as well. Natalie Rice, who was a mom to a pair of 10-year-old twins and a registered nurse who did home health care for the elderly, and her mom got sick, and then her mom went to the hospital.
Didn't the article say that the twins were special needs?
Yeah, that as well.
Oh hell, I'd want out.
So I'm
joking.
No, I know, Dr. Z, but I think the thing that is so shocking about this in general is that this is someone who actually practices medicine, that this is someone who's actually around other people. And I see this happening frequently, that you have nurses more than doctors are not getting the COVID-19 vaccine.
You know, I was thinking about this today exactly like you were thinking about it, where you said they're healthcare workers. You know, these are people that you depend on for their advice when it comes to your life, right?
Yeah. And so why do you think it is that there are so many nurses out there? I mean, Shane and I were watching a video early today of a nurse that was in Texas who was making all kinds of claims about the vaccines and saying that she would never get it. And so why do you think that, by and large, these nurses are saying, no, thank you, I'm not taking the COVID-19 vaccine?
Well, I'll tell you this. I doubt it's a new class that they're taking in nursing school where they're teaching them not to take the vaccines. Why is a great question. Why? Maybe it has to do with this particular lady having a special needs twins and having, you know, exposure to that entire, you know, that entire environment of
right.
all the different alternative treatments that are thrown at that.
Oh, yeah. You know, Dr. Z, that was the other thing that I forgot that you and I had spoken about this earlier, that she has two special needs children, and all too often people who have special needs children turn to alternative treatments. And I think that what makes you particularly unique to speak to this is that you have a son who has special needs, and is
this
one
is
of the reasons why you became a physician is because you said, I got to figure out what's going on with my son. And then eventually you became a neurologist. And I think that is, for me, Dr. Z, that part of your story, I think, is really encouraging to people out there who think, oh, well, maybe the vaccines did something to my kid, or maybe something happened to my child when they were vaccinated.
Wish it were that simple.
And it is as complicated as, you know, I think anything could possibly be. Shane Peterson has a question for us in the text line, Dr. Z. 98973 is the State Roofing text line if you want to ask Dr. Z a question.
Yeah, so we just got a text here. It says, Dr. Z, is the J&J traditional? Does smallpox vaccine stop infection and transmission? And are there any other therapeutics for COVID? Thanks. Rhythm.
Rhythm. Right on. Taking it from the top, yes, the J&J, from my understanding, is more traditional vaccine where there is a little piece of a virus, not necessarily the virus itself, but possibly a synthetic protein or, you know, inactivated virus itself, and then they have something to stimulate the immune system. So that's a more traditional vaccine versus the mRNA vaccines, which are proving to be a really nice piece of medicine, and they're very effective. They hijack the machinery of our cells to make a spike protein, not a virus, but a spike protein, so that the immune system can be triggered by it and educate itself against it. It really neat technology. And so the second question was about smallpox. Does it stop transmission?
Yeah,
does the vaccine stop
infection and transmission?
So, you know, it's a good question. What I know is that people don't die from smallpox if they're vaccinated against it, and it worked so well that smallpox is rarely, if ever, heard of in our modern times because the vaccine worked so well.
Okay. We got another question.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Question.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, we just got another question that just came in. It says, Dr. Z, what do you think about the Novavax? That is the one that I am holding out for. That is from 206.
Okay.
Novavax. Dr. Z is going to have to pull out his doctor his doctor thing.
Yeah.
So Dr. Z and I, Catherine Federer is also in the room at the moment. Catherine, so Dr. Z and I used to do a call-in radio show where people would call in and they would say, my foot's rotting off. What kind of vitamins should I take? And then Dr. Z would say, I'm not that kind of doctor, but I recommend that you go and get screened for diabetes.
Yeah.
And he would give them all this great advice and they would go, okay, but what vitamins should I take? It was really, really brutal. So, but one of the things that Dr. Z would do in the show is that whenever he didn't have the answer immediately, he's not just going to, like, make something up off the top of his head.
Right.
So he's like, hold on, let me consult my thing.
I have the answer.
Okay.
You gave him just enough time to find it.
The answer is, go get vaccinated.
Oh.
Even if they're holding out for the Novavax. What is the Novavax?
Oh, dear Lord. You know, holding out, the lady that died today, who is a registered nurse, you know, what was she holding? She was holding out for what?
Right.
Right? I mean, it just, please help us get rid of this bug, okay? This can go, by the way, like smallpox. If everybody just gets vaccinated and then we don't have these horrible infections and ripped up lungs and deaths.
So, Dr. Z, the Jefferson County Board of Health voted last week to declare a public health crisis over pandemic-related misinformation. The board's resolution was inspired by a recent statement from the United States Surgeon General, and he urged all Americans help slow the spread of health misinformation during the COVID-19 pandemic and beyond. What's the biggest piece of misinformation that you encounter in your own practice, Dr. Z?
Oh, I think, you know, that the vaccine's experimental, or I don't know. there's a lot. I mean, the broad stuff is probably the need to chelate heavy metals out of your system.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's anyone that has any kind of neurologic disorder can be, you know, considered a possible Lyme case, right? And, well, the test is negative, but let's make sure we stay on antibiotics. You know, I mean, there's a lot of misinformation about a great many things.
I think that probably the misinformation, Dr. Z, it starts with people having, like, a legitimate fear, right? It starts with people having a legitimate fear of the unknown. And then people start to do research. And I can tell you that I can find enough research on the internet to convince me that the Earth is flat. I can find enough research on the internet to tell me that we're living in a simulation. I can find enough research on the internet to tell me, Dr. Z, that you're not actually real and that you're, in fact, an actor playing a doctor. So it's
a robot.
Or a robot. So what I think is going on now is that people, in the pursuit of trying to assuage their fears around the unknown, are creating these vast narratives of how could I convince myself not to get vaccinated? And that's outside of people who have just maybe a little bit less romantic notions and people who just say that they don't want to get vaccinated. Dr. Z, we got another question for you. Here's Sugar Shane Peterson.
Hey, so looks like we got a text from 425. Dr. Z, ask him to qualify if the disease will truly go away if everyone gets vaccinated.
Ooh.
Coronavirus will never go away because it's an animal transmittable disease. Smallpox, influenza, polio, etc. are not animal transmissible. Is that true, Dr. Z?
No, God. Smallpox started as cowpox. These evolve, you know, the animal transmission. What about like the common flu, right? The avian flu, right, coming from birds. It's a very common thing that viruses can jump from one species to the other because they rampantly get mutations. They divide so often. You know, but the thing about smallpox being, you know, not eradicated, how come none of us need to get vaccinated against smallpox anymore?
Is it because it shows up so rarely in some foreign, I don't know, so some village in Uganda or something like that once every 5 years?
It's like super, right, like super, super rare. And I mean, it's just this whole fight over something that's proven, you know, 94% effective, and we're watching it right in front of us. You know, I mean, the hospitals are filling up with people that haven't been vaccinated. It's way more rare that somebody that's vaccinated goes into the hospital and not the ICU. I mean, yes, there's breakthrough infections. People are getting sick, but the people who are really getting sick and are dying are the folks that haven't been vaccinated. And so, yes, if we all got vaccinated, we would be able to get rid of this bug. But I think what this lady is saying is that there will be another, and there will be another. And she would be right about that. But there's going to be another right in front of us right now if, you know, 30% of our country stays unvaccinated and continues to generate mutants.
Yeah. Catherine Federer, have you got a question for the great and wonderful Dr. Williams and Auntie?
Oh, I was just looking up the Nova thing. It was talking about being a subunit protein or something.
It's like.
But that's not the question I have.
They're in trials. I was looking it up.
The question I have is, what do you think do you have any idea of what the long-term effects of COVID may be? I've heard rumors that have gone around saying, if you get COVID, because I had COVID a few months ago, and I still have this weird smell thing where I'll sometimes smell like burnt toast out of nowhere. But my daughter also had it, and I'm wondering if you know of any long-term effects of COVID, or you think it's just going to be kind of like the flu, and you get over it, and you have the antibodies, and it's not going to affect you later in life. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a mixed bag. I don't want to scare you about this. Jack and I have been talking about this for months now about the long haulers, and you don't know. You may not know until years from now, and we're going to continue to learn about this. But the opposite is also true. What you said, that some folks are going to walk away from this like a common cold.
And I guess we could say the same for the vax as well. Like, we don't know exactly the long-term effects of it either.
Oh, of what? The vaccine?
Yeah.
Oh, no. The long-term effects of the vaccine are that you have immunity.
But, you know, like, I mean, I'm vaccinated and everything, but we don't necessarily know, you know, right? What about the people who are getting heart issues? Like my daughter.
No, we've covered myopericarditis.
Well, my daughter's aunt did get it.
The reason why we do this. Oh, and by the way, she had a way higher chance of getting the myocarditis, or the inflammation of the heart muscles, if she gets the bug in not the vaccine.
Well, she got the vaccine and then she got the bug. So she got the vaccine and then she started having heart problems, and then she just got COVID. So it's very odd. It's an odd combo.
Sure.
But yes, I know.
You're saying, okay. And I really hope that you're not one of the very, very minuscule few people that has happened to. I really hope that's not the case.
Yeah, and I mean, Dr. Z, you and I have talked about myopericarditis previously, and I mean, the thing that I found really interesting about it, Dr. Z, is when you shared that paper with me that was talking about many of these young men in particular who actually got COVID were ending up with myopericarditis or pericarditis. And so it doesn't necessarily surprise me, I guess this is a really basic way of saying it, but it doesn't necessarily surprise me that some people are going to get it from the vaccine. Some people are going to get it from the virus. And I hope that's not too much of a reductive way of saying that, Dr. Z, but I think you know where I'm going with it.
There's a lot more people that will get hurt, you know, in different ways by the virus than it. And if you get the vaccine and you get your smell back, right, that's happened to a number of my patients. And this has been, you know, reported elsewhere that people lose their sense of taste and smell, and they get it back after they get vaccinated.
Right. Hey, Dr. Z, we appreciate you coming on. We're running out of time, but we will talk to you again later on this week. Dr. Z, do you want to give everybody your deets so they can find you?
It's thenancymd.com. It's ZINNANTIMD.com. If you want to submit a question, we'd be glad to answer it for you.
Dr. Z, you're the best as per usual. Coming up next is Mr. Billy Sunshine, and I'm gonna sandbag Billy by trying to get him to talk bad about Chris Cuomo. We'll take a really quick break right after this. Yeah. Excellent bumper music, Shane Peterson. You're listening to Cairo Nights. Billy Sunshine is on the line, the original OG. Billy, you know what they have going on in this in the studio right now, what I'm looking at right now?
Tell me, Mr. Jack Stein.
I am looking at your best friend in the entire world. I'm watching Don Lemon right now, and he's on one screen. And then on the screen right next to it, I'm watching Fox News. So I'm basically living your life right now, Billy.
Is it as exciting as I think it is?
Yeah, no. I mean, I can see why you're so depressed all the time and why you just eat carbs and bacon all day. I can see definitely, because if you need to be in kind of a food coma if you're going to be watching CNN, Billy. You need to be caught in some kind of weird fugue state of cupcakes and bacon and just not knowing.
It's true. You have to retreat into things like that when you find out that the last president tried to actually pull off a coup, or you find out that the Senate leader is going to try to not pass, not pay for the debts that we've incurred.
Right.
People seem confused. It's not for future debt. This is, we already spent this money, folks.
Right.
Both sides agreed. We need to pass this thing.
So on top of that, Billy, there's breaking news saying that Trump is suing his niece, Mary, as well as the New York Times for releasing his tax documents. I mean, this is big news, Billy Sunshine.
Well, I wonder why he doesn't want his tax documents released. Do you think maybe he's been a dishonest grifter and hasn't paid his fair share?
Billy, you and I have had this debate so many times. Everybody gilds the lily on their taxes. Every human being on
God.
You don't even do your taxes, Billy.
Exactly right. That's my point. I hire a professional
right.
who plays it down the middle, knows exactly what the law is, doesn't get close to the edge.
Okay.
I don't ask that of him, and he doesn't give that to me.
Okay.
Because I'm not a greedy jerk. I'm happy to pay a little tax.
Okay, but
I get it.
All right. So, but if you're Donald Trump, you don't think that you hire someone to do it down the middle, right on the opposite side?
No,
you don't think so?
Do you?
Yes, I do.
I think that
former President Donald Trump was smart enough to hire the best tax guys that he could possibly find, because when you're rich, you don't want to go to jail.
Did he tell him to play it down the middle, or did he say, cheat, but don't get caught?
Let's ask the other expert in the room on this. Sugar Shane Peterson, do you think that Donald Trump was that stupid to have fools do his taxes, or do you think that he got the best of the best?
That's not what I said.
I don't think he was going to know H&R Block to get him done. So,
Shane. Shane's got it right. And you know, look at the way you reshaped the argument.
Yeah.
I didn't say he doesn't go to the smartest people in the world. I just says he has them cheat for him. That's the difference.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm not.
And you know that's the case.
No.
I know what you know.
No, Billy, I know rich guys, and you're a rich guy. And what rich guys do is they go out and they hire the best of the best to do their taxes so that they don't end up paying more or going to prison or getting fined or whatever it is, Billy. When you have money, you don't go to jail. That's the American way.
Mostly because nobody's looking. The IRS is not looking at rich people, hardly at all. They're looking for, like, young folks who take an educational expense that they can say no to. Seriously, you'd be amazed. They're not doing the job. The IRS is radically underfunded, and it's not happening.
Well, speaking of Donald Trump, Billy Sunshine, have you been watching what's going on at the border with these Haitian migrants?
I don't know. You know, I don't watch the border. I haven't for years, because I don't understand why we don't fix that. It's another problem that just seems to go on and on and on, and everybody screws it up. Nobody got it right, far as I can tell.
Well, Billy, there was one man who had this great idea. It was to build this wall, and in some places the wall would be 30 feet tall. In other places it would be like a corrugated steel that had holes in it so the butterflies could fly through it. I mean, there was this guy who had this great idea. If only I could remember his name. Shane, what was that guy's name?
Donnie DJT.
Okay, so Billy, you've seen the images of the Texas Rangers on horseback trying to stop these Haitians from crossing the border, correct?
And also trying to stop them from touching their horses, which I think I sort of understand on one level.
Yeah, but when I saw these images, they're difficult to look at.
It's not a good look.
But the thing is that if this had been done under the Trump presidency, I think that it would be much harsher for people. But because
it'd be the same.
I don't think so.
Well, right now the right wing is screaming. If Trump did it, the left wing would have screamed. How would it be any different?
I think that Trump would have gotten an inordinate amount of attention on this particular issue.
For one day, and then the next day he would have done something more horrible, and we would have moved on. And
that's very true.
That's the Trump style, and you know it.
So, Billy, I was watching some clips of Cuomo, your favorite Cuomo, Chris Cuomo.
What's he up to these days?
Well, he got really confused on this issue, Billy. He contradicted himself. In a two-minute segment, he contradicted himself like five times. Shane Peterson, you got that audio pulled up for us?
Oh, yes. I got it right here.
Play it, Shane.
We really are in the throes in this country of figuring out who we are and what we're about. And I was taken aback by a single image that should make you pay attention to a problem. This one. There's a lot here. Yeah, as an image, to me it does smack of a bygone era of slavery, aided by reports of people being beaten, whether with a riding crop or the reins, most likely. You may be drawn to the desperation of the man trying to escape. Others, in the desperation of keeping our borders safe, of what I believe the former president tried to depict as a brown menace at our border.
I have, Billy, I legitimately have no idea who he's trying to blame in that. Like, I don't know if he's trying to be mad at Biden. I don't know if he's trying to be mad at Trump. I don't know if he's trying to be mad at the United States. He's all over the place, and he can't just say it's rough that the Biden administration had such a lax immigration policy, and now they had to go back to the Trump policy because they messed it up, right?
Yeah. Well, that's not, of course, what he should say, because the Trump policy sucked too, as did the Obama policy before that.
Okay.
I mean, it seems to me the problem with the border has been going on for over a decade now, before you're born, basically.
Right. So here's the second half of that audio clip, though, Billy. And pay attention to this, because he really goes off the rails in this second.
You're after Chris.
Well, he did a bad job last night. Here's what that sounded like.
But this is more than just a picture. It's a reality. People crossing, clinging to food. That's what they're holding over their heads. It's food, not bags of drugs. The agents trying to turn them around and send them back across the border. Look, that is their job. But it's what is being done to allow this country to process the need. We can't do better than horseback. You see the video, but you need to see the confluence. All right? Everything going on at once, all captured in this one image. Okay? See the horse. Their use is common and necessary along this part of the border. The horse is there because a wall was never going to be enough. Sounded simple because it was simplistic.
Like, who is he mad? What, is he mad at the horses? Is he mad at Trump? Because at first he said that the horses were bad, and he was being critical of the horses. And then he said the wall is bad, and then he said, you know, this is, it's like, where is he going?
By the way, I've actually had that experience. And in of all places, in Canada, you know, where everybody's so wonderful and sweet, I got chased by a cop on a horse at a rock concert, of all things. So,
and then you ate the horse. And then you tackled the
weight. What are you going to do when I turn out beautiful? What are you going to say then?
Well, how much weight are you trying to lose, Billy? Because, you know, losing weight for most people is a couple of pounds. Losing weight for you has got to be, you know, two or three Shane Petersons. And Shane Peterson's no small boy.
A friend of mine refers to me as beached, which is short for beached whale. I'm always on the catch.
Well,
as far as Cuomo's concerned, you know, what do you say, you know, with images like that? It's tough to see. You don't want to see horses used in that way. It would have been much better if they were running them over in Jeeps. No, probably not.
Right. And that's the whole point that I was trying to make in this segment, Billy, is that you have Texas Rangers out there that are trying to do a job that they are assigned to do. And the best that they have, the best tools they have at their disposal are those horses. And those men are doing the best that they can do. And unfortunately,
America has failed at this problem now forever. Why don't we fix it? Either side has opportunities, and neither side has been able to get together with the other side to fix this thing.
Well, we could have when we had this idea of this great big beautiful wall with a big old golden door. Big old golden door right in front of it. Mr. Billy Sunshine, we'll talk to you again tomorrow night. Thanks for coming on Cairo Night, sir. We appreciate it.
You take care now.
All right, we'll take a really quick break. When we get back, Sugar Shane's segment that I never remember the name of is coming up next, where I have no idea what Shane is going to talk about. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this. I get confused 'cause I don't know where I stand. You're listening to Cairo Nights. Jack Stein, Sugar Shane Peterson on a Tuesday evening. I love doing evening radio, Sugar Shane Peterson. I love it.
It's a lot of fun, isn't it?
It is, and I used to do drive time radio. It's such a drag, and now I get to do evening radio, and it's just so relaxing with people, consistent audience, people that care about the show, and it's just an amazing position for me to have, and I'm very humbled and very pleased to be able to do it, Shane Peterson. Humbled and pleased.
I feel the same, man. I enjoy coming up here and playing radio with you every
day. We get to play radio like we're a couple of kids in a cardboard box with a couple of tin cans. Speaking of, by the way, this is all you, man. This is a segment. I have no idea what you're going to talk about, so lay it on us, buddy.
Well, I think that if we didn't bring up this story, we would be doing a big injustice to a lot of people. But one of the big stories that's been circulating around the news world is the story of Gabby Petito, who you're familiar with. She is somebody who blew up on TikTok, has a social media following. For you who don't know basically what happened, she went on a big road trip with her boyfriend and basically went missing. Nobody knew where she went. Boyfriend shows up back home. He doesn't know where Gabby went.
Right.
And there's been a lot of this information that's been unfolding. And, you know, today they were able to identify a body that was found in the Bridge of Teton National Forest. And unfortunately today, this is from CNN, they have confirmed that it is actually the 22-year-old Gabby Petito, which is just shocking and sad. But this is a unique situation because you have somebody who's a public figure or a semi-public figure through via social media. And with that, that's actually helped a lot with people really looking in and diving into this because people are really getting behind the fact because they wanted to see her post. And as soon as she stopped posting, they knew that something was up. But also, there's been tons of weird videos coming out. And I actually have some audio right here to play for everybody. This is some body cam footage outside of that exact national park. And this was after Gabby and her mans got in a little fight on the roadway. And this is what that sounds like.
You want to place your vehicle in the park and go ahead and turn it off for me? No, park?
Oh, it isn't parked yet.
Okay, turn off your engine. Go ahead and set your keys on the dash for me, all right? What's your guys' names?
Gabby.
I'm Brian. Gabby, Brian, okay. What's going on? How come you're crying?
I'm just crying. We've just been fighting this morning. Some personal issues.
It was a long day. We were camping yesterday and camping got stuff, supplies and stuff. I'm sorry I hit the bump there.
I was distracting him from driving. I'm sorry.
Can I get you to step out of the vehicle for me, man?
Yeah.
So does that sound like a good, happy scenario, like a good old camping trip with the missus to you, Jack Steiner?
No.
Does that have some weird tension to it?
I was kicking this around in my brain all day today, and I think I know what happened.
It's late on me.
So I was in a band for many years. And when you're in a band, you go on tour, you're in a van with people. Sometimes it's a very small van. Sometimes it's like an Econoline, the 350, the 17-seater. You never really know when you rent it. But point being is that when you're in a band, you're around three of your best friends, maybe four of your best friends, and you guys love each other and you're brothers in arms, right? About a week into it, the cracks start to form and you realize how much you hate everybody in the band. It's a weird phenomenon. The smallest things start to grate on you. It's being in this very small space with the same people every day, talking about the same stuff, dealing with the same habits and the same inconsistencies and the same annoyances day after day after day. You get in this weird kind of claustrophobic state. Just to give you an example, one time my band and I were on tour and we were traveling through San Diego, had just played a gig, great show, get out of the hotel and we're about to leave. And I noticed that our guitar player, Keith, put his bags on top of my bags. But I expressly told Keith that I wanted my bags on top of the bags because that's where I kept my special pills. And I need my special pills for the drive, right? So I, instead of going to Keith and saying, oh, hey, bro, do you mind if I put my bag on top in the back? I went to Adam, the drummer, and I said, dude, can you believe that Keith did that to me? Can you believe? I took it as a personal insult. And Adam was like, dude, just go talk to him. And I was like, I can't talk to Keith, man. He's been weird to me this whole time. You develop a deep resentment to people that you're normally... people that you love and that you're friends with. I think that's what happened to this couple. I think they were having problems before, and this road trip made it worse day after day after day after day.
And then for some reason, her boyfriend just exploded and dumped her body somewhere in the National Forest. I could see that being true. And by the way, the boyfriend's name is Brian Laundrie.
Right.
He is actually being looked for by the FBI right now. He is one of the most wanted men in America. So if you have any information on him or know of anything, you know, if you can get some information to the local authorities to help him out and try to bring some justice to this really strange, awful case, I think it would be much appreciated. But I could see where you're coming from, Jack. It's kind of a hairy situation. You know, I've done a lot of sports teams trips and
yes.
be stuck with all of my best friends, even more than just three or four. I've gotten in arguments with dozens at a time. So I know what that's like. But, you know, I really hope that something comes up and that we can figure out really what happened to her. And there could be some peace of mind given back to her.
Yeah, I hope that there's justice for that young woman. I really, really, really do. And my hope is that the family lied about his whereabouts to try to hide him and that the FBI finds that information and then they go and get him. That's my hope right now.
Same.
So I don't think he's in some park somewhere. All right, we have to take a really quick break. And when we get back, Stacey Jo Rost is going to be on the line and we're going to be talking about a phenomenon that happened a couple years ago, but it's just now starting to bubble back up to the surface. Wilderness camps. Stick around, figure out why when we get back.